in Hosea, the 6th chapter, and verse 6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than whole burnt offerings." Well, God desires the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings, and he desires mercy better than he desires sacrifice. God wants us to know him through his word. That is the only way to truly know God, is through his word. Well, we get acquainted with him through spiritual experience, but spiritual experience only equips or qualifies us to have the knowledge of God, because the Bible tells us plainly in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again, we find the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you rejected knowledge, I'll reject you." Isaiah 5:13-14, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity," God says, "because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished. Their multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." My God, that sounds like the church today. And it really is a characterization in the words of the prophet. And we need to take heed to what God is saying here to this end time generation that needs, as God said, to know the knowledge of God more than to be giving or making sacrifice to the Lord. God desires knowledge more than he desires sacrifice. And God is seeking men and women who really know him through his word. And that's the way we really know what God is like and who God really is. Well, the Bible tells us after we're saved, and all of this information comes from a great source, and that source is the great Apostle Peter. And the Apostle Peter certainly was a knowledgeable disciple of the Lord, as well as having the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Ghost upon his life. And in 2 Peter 1, and beginning in verse 4, he said, well, I'd like beginning verse 3, "According to the divine power he's given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness." How do we obtain the things that pertain to eternal life and godliness? He says, "Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." And that's through the word of God. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And then besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." In other words, after when you first get saved, you get saved through faith. You get saved by grace through faith. Now he says, use that faith and add to that faith virtue. That means purity, holiness. And add to that virtue, the next step is knowledge. Study the word of God. Know God through his word. Know Jesus Christ in the word of God. And add to that knowledge, temperance, that self-control. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's steps to acquiring this knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. But he says, "He that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. He hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." That's in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 10. Now in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," see, after we become knowledgeable in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, his purity, his holiness, his fear upon us, praise God, we're partakers of Christ through the word. He says we're entangled there again with the pollutions of the world and overcome. "The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." How do you know it? Through the word. "Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." And it's through the word of God that we find the knowledge of God. Well, my neighbor, God is long-suffering. He's not tolerant. He's not permissive. As Acts 17:30 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now calleth all men everywhere to repent." He certainly does. Also in the book of Peter, 1 Peter this time, 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, and beginning in verse 18, the scripture says, "Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, when sometimes, or which sometime, were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. I'll tell you, God has been long-suffering with us. He was long-suffering in the former generations. He was long-suffering in the days of Noah. He's not tolerant. He's not permissive. God still demands repentance. And I'll tell you, he said, you'll repent or perish, and that's in the Word of God, and there's nobody going to avoid it. As Acts 17:30 says, God commandeth all men now to repent. Well, the Bible tells us that dealing with God and Jesus Christ sometime is a pretty hard job. We find such scriptures in the Word of God as we find here in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where the Bible tells us that Jesus in, well, Matthew 25, beginning verse 14, he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain man traveling into a far country, and he called his servants, delivered unto them his goods. That's Jesus, of course. He gave one 5 talents, one 2, and one 1. He took his journey. Well, one that had 5, he gained 5. The 1, 2, he gained 2. But the scripture says the one that had 1 talent. Why, here's what he said, verse 24, Matthew 25. He which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man. You reap where you've not sown. You gather where you've not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And hear that. Is thine. Here it is. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I sowed not. You knew I gather where I have not strawed. You oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming, I would have received mine own with usury. Here the Bible sets Jesus and God forth as hard taskmasters in a way, or they're a hard nobleman or a hard king or a hard prince that demands and requires of their servants to be faithful and to produce for the glory of God. Well, God does demand. Jesus demands. He demands our love, and his love is a tough, disciplined love. He demands that his love be in us. His chastening is grievous. His experience that his Holy Ghost leads us into are frightening, just like in Exodus 15, the Holy Ghost, that pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, led those children of Israel into many harrowing and frightening experiences. And here in Exodus 15, it led them to the bitter waters of Marah. Only after just a few days they'd been delivered out of Egypt's bondage. I'll tell you, the Bible tells us, Isaiah 43:2, he tells us plainly that God's not a bridge over the river, but he'll go with us through the river. He don't take us around the fire. He goes with us. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they'll not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'll tell you, God is hard to deal with. And there's no use saying he's not. The Bible tells us, Jesus said of his Father, Matthew 10:28, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'll tell you right now, that don't sound like we can fool around with God. In 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says here, you can know God. God spared not the angels that sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Also in that particular historical account, in the 6th chapter of Genesis, verse 18, God spoke to Noah and said, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh upon the face of the earth. It was God that destroyed those people. And God, the Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In verse 6 of 2 Peter 2, it continues, God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. God says, if you don't think I'm kind of hard to get along with, if you don't live right, repent and live holy, I'll show you my other side one of these days. And that's the threat of God. Jesus told of his Father in John the 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let me tell you, he said, my Father's a husbandman, and if you don't bear fruit, he'll cut your vine. He'll cut you off as a vine and you'll be cast in the fire and you'll be burned.